And we are back at the Taste of Tech Ed down here at the Channel 9 stage at Tech Ed 2013. My name is Rick Claus. Thank you very much for joining us. We're going to be talking very shortly to a couple of colleagues here about System Center 2012 R2 and also Windows Server 2012 R2 and how they work together specifically for a hosting environment and also for internal IT shop type of environment. But we do have a little bit of a contest if you're interested. I've been dared by my producers to go ahead and see if we can get people. There is one person in Panama and one person in Honduras that is watching the stream right now. If you're in Panama or Honduras, try to call your friends and neighbors and get them to sign on to channel9@msdn.com right now to see if we can have a soccer match to see who is going to have the most people show up between those two. So Panama and Honduras, go get her. We'll see what happens. That's how we have a little bit of fun here on the stage every once in a while. It's been a long day. So first of all, thank you very much for joining us.
Sure.
It's been a long day, presentations, everything else going on. There's still one more session coming up here. I'm joined here by John Ballard and Nagender Vidula. Both from Windows engineering side of teams, the product teams for System Center 2012 R2. I can now say the name because it's been released and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But for those that don't know you, would you mind just taking like a couple of brief moments and just kind of, you know, who you are, the product team you work with specifically, a couple of things you've done at Microsoft over the years, that sort of stuff. And John, why don't you go first?
Thanks, Rick. I'm John Ballard. I've been with Microsoft a little over 17 years.
Okay.
And I'm in the System Center product group right now, and I've been there for about a year and a half. I did about 8 years in the BizTalk server product prior to that. And somewhat uniquely, I've been in IT a couple of times as well, so I've gone back and forth across the boundary between operations, essentially, and commercial product development. So I get a little bit of perspective on the stuff I build and how it's going to get used.
Very good.
Nagender Vidula, I'm the group program manager of the System Center team, one of the group program managers there. I've been at Microsoft for 15 years.
Okay.
Got my start as a program manager in the BizTalk server team, worked there for about 8 years. John and I worked together during those years as well.
Okay. He's okay to work with, right?
More or less.
He's the one wearing the beads right now.
So. Yeah, that's right. Somebody's got to do that.
And then, I did a tour of duty in the India division of Microsoft and worked with the Xapta product team. And then I was in Microsoft IT for 5 years before I decided to move back here to Redmond and into the System Center team.
Very, very cool. Now, with the keynote and with the foundation sessions, one of the things we've been seeing so far and hearing so far from different people is this whole concept of the three clouds, three cloud vision for what we're doing in this type of environment. And we're talking here today about this type of environment in a hosting environment, but can you just kind of tell me a little bit about what sort of stuff is involved from the product group side of things to be able to bring this together, to work together with all the different facets inside this environment with all those different types of moving parts? Like, is the three cloud thing something that's real?
You know, System Center historically has been, you know, in the private cloud space,
right?
And that's where we've built all the equity that we've been able to build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hoster segment is something that is really upcoming in terms of all the same types of things that you would want to do inside a private cloud, the same things you want to do inside a hosted cloud.
Yep.
And when you talk about our whole cloud OS vision overall, it's whatever things we have in Azure and what kind of services we have there, the same kinds of services we'd like to have in the hoster segment.
Okay.
And identical to that is in the private cloud situation for an enterprise IT organization, it looks no different than what the hoster segment is. So a hoster builds value-added services for their tenants.
Yep.
And similarly, in an IT organization, the IT service delivery part of the organization builds services for the consumption of the various business units that are inside the organization. So logically, they look no different than each other, right? So we said, you know, irrespective of which cloud you're operating in, there's a distinct set of services that you want to have for the consumption of the services that you're providing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be a service provider at a hoster, or you can be a service provider in an IT enterprise situation, but you care about servicing the needs of what your tenants require, whether they are business units or subscription-based models of tenants and hosters.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you did a tour of duty in the IT side of things, the functional side at in Microsoft India.
Yes.
Is this your, what you're seeing as well? This is part of the experiences you're bringing into this team?
Yeah, in Microsoft IT, one of the key things was I used to run a group that was responsible for all the customer and partner applications that Microsoft IT builds. Mm-hmm. So we'd have various different business units that would come to IT and say, this is the type of solution that we want you guys to build. We want a self-service environment where our business can come in and help provision those services. We want the fabric and all that stuff to be managed by you guys. And we want to get reports on how these applications are behaving. We want statistics on, you know, what are the seasonality issues that we see in these applications, right? And there would constantly be this demand for adding more and more things and, you know, creating an infrastructure of virtualization that was, you know, as flexible and as empowering as it is for the business unit. Mm-hmm. So it's remarkably similar to what we need to do now in terms of providing for hosters and enterprise IT shops to do.
John, in your experience so far, living in the product group side of things, what sort of changes have you noticed with the way that we're trying to pull us all together? Because if we're talking three clouds, and we are literally harmonizing the engineering ship cycles of these major, major products, what have you seen inside?
Well, it's
good
been
stuff, bad stuff?
It's been generally a very positive experience, right? Mm-hmm. And I would, to pull it all together, we had to bring the Azure team, the Windows Server team, and the System Center teams kind of all together and have what amounted to shared release scenarios that we would drive the entire release from. And in fact, then at an engineering level, the way we drop code to each other has greatly improved, or actually it's stopped essentially being a code drop. We went to a model where we were essentially sharing development branches, and that led to way easier discrete points in time where we could give a drop to somebody and then they could build their piece. Because in a stack of technology, what you really don't want, and what we have experienced a little bit to date, is kind of lags at the boundary in the stack.
Okay.
And those were a little bit painful in past releases, and it's gotten this unification process, while it might seem like a big thing to try to pull off, has been very beneficial to our engineering teams. Mm-hmm.
I would like to add a couple of things here.
Sure.
You mentioned the fact that we're, you know, in single release cycles. So what that has given us the ability to do is participate in planning exercises as soon as we did our last release jointly. And we said, you know, scenarios are going to be the basis upon which we are going to create this value for the end user, mm-hmm. right? And these scenarios are ones that encompass all aspects of the stack that we're building. If you look at the stack for IaaS services, it starts with the hypervisor.
Yeah.
It goes to virtual machine manager, right? Then we have the service provider foundation layer that we have in System Center 2012 R2. And at the top of the stack sits the Windows Azure Pack that provides this interface and ability to collaborate with all aspects of the stack underneath it. Mm-hmm. So we said, we're going to start with outlining scenarios for hosters. So in our planning exercises, we went out and talked to enterprise IT organizations. Mm-hmm. We went and talked to a wide segment of hosters. And we said, what are the distinct set of things that you would like to achieve? And we factored that into our planning exercise. And we actually call them the I can statements. So if you were a hoster and you were telling me what your requirement was, you know, we would distill that and say, you know, as a hoster, I can provide value-added services for my customers.
Okay.
I can wrap services together and offer them on a chargeable basis. And so we have a list of I can statements that we used as a method of refining the stack that we were building. And we zoned in on a specific set of scenarios that we said we're going to build them in totality before we release. Mm-hmm. And if any aspect in this stack doesn't work right, we're going to just kill that whole scenario. And then we want to make sure that everything is done right up and down the stack.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, to your experience so far, the people you've been talking with, what sort of positioning, like what sort of customers are ready to go to this level? Because as you mentioned, it's a consistent experience regardless if you're going to be doing these kind of services as a hoster for your own internal clients, if you're a large organization, or if you're a hosting environment as well. do you have any kind of insights to share, any kind of knowledge to share about people that are ready to go down that path? Or is this still it's an endpoint goal we haven't gotten there yet, but we want to get there?
So we hear a lot from hosters that say, look, you guys have a lot of experience in hosting services on the public cloud, mm-hmm. right? We would love it if you could take all that type of learnings that you have and bring it to us for whatever we have in our enterprise IT shop or in our hosted environments. So, and that is, nothing could be further from the truth, because we have a lot of learning in Azure, mm-hmm. in deploying services that consumers are using through their subscriptions. And we have a lot of experience in, you know, knowing what those tenants require, how they need them, at what sort of cadence that they require those on, and so on. Mm-hmm. So we said, well, let's take all that learning and then bring it into the hoster and the service and the enterprise IT environments. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing that resonates well with our hoster customers and our enterprise IT organizations.
Now, from a stack perspective, we're obviously talking about System Center 2012 R2, Windows Server 2012 R2, and also talking about the Windows Azure Pack. When they become available, are they going to be discrete chunks that you have to go off and procure, different licensing kind of things you have to worry about doing? Is this like an easy thing to go off into, essentially, when it comes time to be able to implement?
So we're going to have licensing that is similar to what we have today.
Right.
Right. We're also going to have marketing bundles, mm-hmm. right, that say, when you buy this particular bundle, you'll get all of these discrete technologies together.
Yep.
And that's offered under service provider licensing, mm-hmm. as well as enterprise licensing. So
one thing I would maybe add to the description of what it takes to get this stuff up and running is that in this release that we're working on right now, we've put a lot of investment into templated setup, essentially.
Okay.
And so we believe that we've hit the sweet spot on this, and we've got what amount to a bunch of templates, and that should make this relatively single click. Now, mm-hmm. there are pieces, obviously.
Yeah.
Windows is separate from System Center still. We don't install all of that as one thing, but
install the hosting solution with a wizard interface, click, 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 done. It's not going to quite be to that level.
Exactly.
Now, is it possible, I know we've seen a couple of these demos already or something like that, but can you just give us a sense of a quick little scenario of what it looks like across the scope to be able to use these type of things together? Is it possible?
Yeah, I can describe the way we typically demonstrate this stuff is we start off by showing the consistency that exists in the tenant experience, whether you're talking about the Azure experience or the Azure Pack experience on mm-hmm. Windows Server and System Center. And once you've set that groundwork for the commonality of the tenant experience, then we go on to show what I've brought with me today, which is the administrative console for the Windows Azure Pack experience.
Okay.
And then the way to think of that generally is, and how I typically introduce this, is to say that when you're managing users and what they can consume and getting a look at how much capacity you have and that kind of stuff, in the case of Azure, there is no administrative experience explicitly exposed. And so when you try to land this unified three clouds thing on Windows Server, you have to essentially construct an administrative experience for the service provider, whether they're an enterprise or a hoster.
Okay.
And that's what we've done here.
So okay, well, we'll see if our producers can go off and switch us off to the demo machine to be able to bring this up. It's always a challenge with live. It looks like we have it there behind us, which is good.
Yeah, okay, so what you see here is the what we call the admin portal for short, and it's essentially a unified experience for a service administrator to interact with their tenants. And again, regardless of whether that's an enterprise or a hoster, we try not to distinguish too much there if we can avoid that.
But, correct.
The way I typically simplify the story is to say that I have four goals when I'm sitting down in front of this thing. I want to manage my tenants and grow my tenants and keep them around. I want to formulate offers that they find compelling, both to help me with number one as well as to kind of operate on my margin. You could imagine, for example, I might put together an offer for my tenants that has a bunch of free stuff in it as a way to hook them, and then I might follow up later and create high value and high margin offerings to them. The third thing that I care about is maintaining a good sense of my capacity so that when I build a new offer, I put it in the right place, if you will, and I'll show you some of that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the fourth thing, or maybe not so obviously, but it should leap out once I describe it, is this idea that I need to be as efficient as possible, because hopefully, if I'm a successful service provider, I'm wildly outnumbered by the number of tenants. There might be five or 10 of me and literally thousands of tenants. And so I have to have some way to scale what I do, be efficient, as well as to wire up everything that I've got here with whatever investments I've already had stood up for years.
Okay.
So it's very focused on the service administrator saying, I want to take and manage my users and give them offers that are of value to them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to charge for them for the services that they're utilizing. And I want to get a lot of productivity back so that I can focus on creating these value-added offers and things like that, rather than deal with the mundane things that I have to do as a service administrator.
Yep.
That's the essence of the portal.
Should we dive in?
Yeah,
let's take a look.
Yeah.
Okay,
give us a little bit of a tour there.
So the portal here, for anybody that's spent any time on the Azure portal, will look very familiar. It's got a consistent look and feel to it, and that's kind of step one. And I usually tell the story by starting with a view onto my tenants. You can see that I've clicked this user accounts node down here, and I get a list of who my tenants are, and I can then drill in and see different things about them. At this high level, I can see whether they're active, when they signed up, and I can even take some basic actions on their account. If I need to do anything associated with either rewarding them for loyal customer experience or suspending them because they haven't paid their bill, it's consolidated here, and I can do that.
Okay.
And it's also then more granular, too. I can drill in. Let's see if I can just... I'll pick one of my colleagues here and drill in on his subscription. And I can see here that he's got a single tenancy with one subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, at the same way I could operate on his account, I can also do some of those same actions against his individual subscriptions. So, you know, he might be delinquent on paying me, but I don't care about subscriptions to the free stuff. I'll let him continue to use those. But the one that's paid, I'm going to have to suspend that until he can make his account true.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go in and even operate against the individual subscriptions and do things that are fairly interesting in terms of collaboration or upsell. And there's a couple of different things here. But at the highest level, I can look at the usage data for subscription. That's particularly interesting to me if I want to know whether or not they should qualify for some kind of loyalty reward or any of that kind of stuff. But I can also then add co-administrators that would allow essentially teams to share a subscription, and you can totally see where this would be useful for development, mm-hmm. DevOps environments where they're doing a shared thing and they need to get in and all have essentially what amounts to tenant administrative access.
And to me, this blows me away, the fact that you're at this level. The mind shift that I have to make is the fact that this could be internal customers I'm looking at that are using consuming stuff, and I'm looking at that from a compute and a storage and a network perspective.
That's
as
right.
opposed to traditional VM1, VM2, this much RAM and everything else. I think
that's
of it
right.
as a holistic thing. To me, that's mind-blowing, and that's just me. But
yeah, and you bring
very,
up an
very
interesting point about role separation. You know, as a service administrator, I'm operating primarily with tenants and the offers that I make available to
mm-hmm.
them, but upstream of me, my input, if you will, is the diced up fabric that I get from our fabric administrators. They still have to install and rack servers and essentially cut that up into clouds that then I use to hook these offers to the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly who I am in this story.
Wow.
So now I'll take you to have a look at how I expose offers to the tenants, and that's through this construct we call a plan. I think anybody that's subscribed to Azure will have seen the term. Conceptually, it's just an offer bundle, and it's very much like a plan for a cell phone or anything else. In our case, the plans will contain websites and VMs and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. And it's again, thinking back to what I said in my introductory remarks, the construction of plans is as much about getting people excited about my service and wanting to consume more of it as it is about me balancing where I make money and where I don't. And I can use plans and make them available broadly. I can publish them and make them public. I can have private plans that I give out just to select tenants if I want to do that. There's also an upsell opportunity here to essentially give out free stuff broadly and then target individuals that need high value services. Like, let's say an enterprise wants nightly backup. Well, that's a nice, maybe it's a must have for them, and it's easy for me to provide, but I can also charge for that. And you can see how essentially my whole goal is to think about that upsell opportunity at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's the first party workloads that we are shipping as a part of the solution that includes websites, virtual machine roles, service bus, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the opportunity for third party providers to integrate additional services into this environment so that you can wrap those for your tenants along with just any other plan.
So what I'm going to just show you really quick to kind of point out what Nagender was talking about is the creation of a plan. So I simply create the plan, give it a name, and then the next thing that I do, which is the meat of what Nagender was talking about, is I decide which service types go into that plan. And once I've done that, then I have a configuration experience to follow. In the case of each service type, it has its own administrative and configuration experience, because what it takes to manage a website set, for example, is different than what it might take to administer virtual machine clouds.
Mm-hmm.
The plan creation itself is relatively straightforward. It creates the offer container, and then I have to go in and change different things about it. Oop, I had a little demo glitch there. That's typically what you might see a lot of when we're in this pre-release state. So anyway, I create plans and I configure the services inside there. I can show you an example of one of those. Let's take a look at the...
Just out of curiosity, all these will be available for people to start to explore with around the same time as we're going to be making the release preview available, or are these going to be available in a staggered form?
Yeah, the way you would dive in and start experimenting with this is that, and I believe it was the 26th of June when this becomes available.
That's the number we keep on bantering around right now. With the build conference.
You would essentially get a preview version of Windows Server R2 and System Center R2, and then you would go out to Microsoft.com/hosting, and you would download this Azure pack to be layered on top as the consumer experience.
Okay. But they're all at the same time. There's no staggering.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Oh, good. Very, very good. I noticed here you got some usage of the plan, some data that's coming back. So you mentioned the whole concept of chargeback and that sort of stuff. How does that work right now with what we're planning on doing?
So the portal and its associated API has a usage web service endpoint that essentially exposes a way to programmatically get to usage data,
mm-hmm.
or to contribute to usage data, either one. So in the case of anybody who's familiar with System Center, they will know that we will accumulate through VMM and Operations Manager a whole bunch of usage data.
Right.
So what we've enabled here is that our Service Provider Foundation API can essentially engage in a conversation with the API that sits behind this portal, and they can exchange usage data so that you get a nice accumulated set of information that can be used for a variety of reasons. I mean, we've been hanging around a lot of hoster conferences and communities and stuff in the last couple of years, and one of the things you hear is that the unrealized dreams of cloud, at least the two that really stand out, are billing and chargeback.
Yep.
It's well below 30% in some ways that the environments are doing any successful amount of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is sort of the automation stuff. You know, how do you do elastic scale automatically?
Mm-hmm.
One of the answers that we'll provide certainly is detection of capacity limits and then automation that then will essentially contribute more capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So the stuff can essentially be automated, and the cloud dreams all start to come true that way. Every cloud experience in this environment has its own dashboard. As I mentioned, when I'm creating offers to tenants, one of the most important things for me to maintain is an awareness of what capacity is going to be affected by the next offer that goes out. If there's a saturated cloud, I shouldn't put a new offer on it because that's going to make the problem worse until my fabric team can essentially grow that space for me.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much anywhere you look in this environment, you'll see usage data, and it's at all levels. So if you go into if you click on the service bus, you'll see a cloud, and you can go in and look at the individual different nodes that are in here and take operations against them, and they all show different kinds of usage data, again, owing to the differences between them. If you look at the websites, you can drill into any given website cloud and see a bunch of usage data for that, as well as all these associated management and configuration actions that you can take on that particular cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So in this way, I think of these usage dashboards as kind of my first stop. If I'm going to go create a new offer, I look here and see what the situation is, and then I...
But as a service administrator, all the resources that you're administering, you can get via a cursory glance the overall health of your entire fabric and all the things that you are responsible for in one single portal, irrespective of what those resources are.
Right? Yes, I would think that's a good way to describe it. I think that there are, you know, to your point maybe, this is not a rich analysis experience. It's just deep enough for me to be able to do smart things. There is a whole different experience that we do for tapping into that usage data and going deep on analysis related to anything, even long-term planning and that kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff. So,
right. We still have about 4 or 5 minutes left, and we've kind of covered.
We have a question from the audience.
I was just going to ask if we happen to have any questions. You're welcome to go to the channel9.msdn.com site to be able to plug in a question or two for these two fine gentlemen. A quick update on the scores for that original challenge at the beginning of the hour or beginning of the segment. Apparently, Panama has left the building. Therefore, Honduras, you win as the single person watching in Honduras. Hope you're enjoying the show. But you're welcome to fill out a question about System Center 2012 R2 or the concert of how this all works together with Windows Server 2012 R2 and also the Windows Azure Pack all together to do this. And again, before we sat down and started talking about this, I never really realized that the way, to me, it was always this high-level goal to be able to get to the point a large organization could go off and start to offer these services up in this kind of a fashion. I mean, I was always talking about that and encouraging people to go down that path as an enterprise consultant, advising individuals and customers. It was always the direction they wanted to go in. But now it looks like we finally have some tools that are all working together to really strive to do that. And you were mentioning with these plans you're putting together, you still have to have the administrators to go in and to rack the servers, to be able to get the disk ready to go, to get the kind of fabric information managed and into the system. And then this portal simply now exposes it and makes it available to bundle together as part of plans and offers to customers.
Yeah, I kind of like to think of it as that we've shortened that last mile delivery out to the, you know, Nagender talked about his experiences in the CRM solutions for Microsoft, and I was in the ERP space very similarly, and we had a lot of custom development that we had to do just to stand up a simple user experience to create a new VM.
Yeah.
And the whole goal was to make it faster for project teams to do what-if iteration, you know, fail fast, learn quickly, all that kind of stuff. And so, this is going to save IT a ton of time if you want to focus in on the enterprise discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just add one more thing, you know. With us being in the same planning cycle, with us running a weekly ship room where all these constituent groups come together, you know, that created an environment which is, you know, a lot about integrated innovation, right? With respect to each other's groups and then what we bring value in terms of what we do better together than we do separately. And that's something that you're really seeing in the portal that we put together. The collaboration that we have across Windows Server, System Center, as well as Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And that made us make the scenarios that we are trying to bring to fruition much more compelling from an end user perspective, because you've got all these diverse set of opinions that are coming together. And it's not just a very, very technology discussion. It's not just a fabric discussion. It's a what matters to the end users that are using our portal or our consumers that are consuming services from us, and how do they want to see things in the manner in which they want to see them. And then everything underneath, that's us having to manage the complexity of the trellis, and that's what we've done in this release.
That's awesome. You know what, I think that's a perfect opportunity. I think there's no questions that came up. You guys are very busy gentlemen. Thank you very much for coming down. Nagender, is very nice meeting you.
Thank you very much.
John, nice meeting you as well. We are going to be, this is the last live segment that we have today, so again, join us tomorrow when we start back up again with the live show. We will be passing you back to Taste of Tech. Yeah, the next session we're going to be passing you off to is actually Microsoft System Center Orchestrator Integration Packs. That's coming up right after this. But again, thank you. It's been a great day. Come back tomorrow morning. More Channel 9 Live here at TechEd 2013.